All right, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. That would be a good one to start with. Don't forget, this whole year we have been doing what we call faith basics. What we mean by faith basics, that is, there are some things that are fundamental to faith. We must never forget. That's what marks out Christianity. This afternoon I was watching, I want to say some things about faith and the basics thereof. I was watching Peter Daniels on KICC TV. A few of you may know about Peter Daniels, or many of us may. If you didn't know about him on your own, I think I mentioned him here and there as I've been preaching. Peter Daniels, and the Australian multimillionaire, a committed Christian. And I like stories like his, all right? I was just watching it today. And when my wife came, I was reciting the story to her again. I was so blessed by the story. The man said at the age of 26, he was an illiterate bricklayer. Australian, not Nigerian. No. All right? So, you know, illiterate. That is, he couldn't read, he couldn't write. Then he went for a Billy Graham crusade. And that was a turning point in his life. I said he heard the gospel preached to him. And that gospel showed him that, for goodness sake, he's a child of a king. And he's not inferior to anybody. And when he said it, I just realized that last week I went to preach in the Anglican church in Transecluse, St. Andrews. And one of those days, that was all I preached. I just emphasized that, listen, you're the child of a king, you're not inferior to anybody. That was a few days ago. Then I just saw Peter Daniels say it again today, that was what changed his life. After that, he began to read, taught himself to read. Let me make a long story short. He's a very successful man now, a multimillionaire, and all of that, you know. Giving out, in fact, one of the assignments, he said he has a number of visions for life. One, to see how much money a man that's arising like him out of poverty can give out in a lifetime. And number two, he wants to do something that will affect the world for 300 years if Jesus does not come back. I was watching him, you know, he preached a few years ago in Matthew Ashimolo's program in London. Now, why would I quote him? Talking about faith, he said that we talk about walk by faith, because he's trying to press Christians, all right, to go into the world of economics and, you know, become entrepreneurs, become commanders in the area of economics, all right? So he was saying something. He said, we shout all the time, walk by faith. He said, but all we are looking for is secure jobs. So that's not how people who are walking by faith behave. They're not looking for security in any job. They are walking by faith. So they are ready to take risks. They are ready to move out. And the way is, according to you, can be a servant leader is to get up and go and create a corporation and employ people. So that's how to be a servant and a leader at the same time. Now, why did I just refer to that? I'm talking about fundamentals of faith. So when he said that thing, I said, my God, this man is saying things that are really touching the central part of my heart. That is, there are some things that are fundamental to faith. And he was explaining that if all you are looking for is security in outward things, then you cannot testify to somebody else that you are walking by faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, faith is real. It's not just something we come to church to talk about. It's part of our everyday life. And you know, for me, every day I look at it, look at ministries and look at the word of God. I get really, really irritated when I see some people preaching, and it makes Christianity look as if it's a joke. We just like to play. We like to gather on Sundays and just make ourselves feel happy. And when there's no relevance concerning our everyday life. No, the word of God is real. The word of God is powerful. Yeah? In fact, I'm going to talk about that again today. God has something to say about everything in your life. And it's not just as if he's commenting about it. He's creating the ideal for you by the power of his word. That's what he uses all the time. It's so good that I watched that Peter Daniels issue, you know, this afternoon. Because the man said that, why was he illiterate at the age of 26? Because he was a certified, how do I describe it? Dullard. He couldn't learn. So when he was a child, they told him he was brain damaged. That's why he couldn't learn anything. He had severe dyslexia. He couldn't learn anything. One of his teachers, he called the woman's name Mrs. Phillips. Mrs. Phillips said that, no, he's not brain damaged, he's brain stupid. After a while, everybody gave up on him, and he grew up like that. Grew up from a very terrible background, a lot of relatives are in jail, stuff like that. But as a young man, he went to a Billy Graham crusade, and the word of the Lord came to him saying, you are not brain damaged. You are the child of a king. If only you will give your life to Christ. He gave his life to Christ. And he said, listen, I'm not inferior to anybody. By the time he was preaching, he was 71. So it's not somebody, look, he gave his life to Christ at the age of 26. He read 2,500 biographies. He's extremely informed. He's the one I told him, if I heard it from his mouth, I finally got it correcting from his mouth. He was talking about people taking his message that day seriously. He said, listen, there's no company that will retain me for the number of time I'm going to amount of time I'm going to spend preaching here. He was saying that will pay me anything less than $500,000. That in fact, he consulted for one company for 10 minutes and they paid $1,000,000. How many minutes? All right, you guys have said yes. 10 minutes. At the end of 10 minutes, they issued him a check, $1,000,000. And to tell you the power of his words, they made $120 million from what he said in 10 minutes. So I didn't think he was defrauding people. What impressed me about it is that the man said, I gave my life to Christ when I went for a Billy Graham crusade. The gospel was presented. A man who was certified as he couldn't learn anything. An illiterate white man. At the age of 26, he now began to learn. Read 2,500 biographies. The man is extremely informed. Became one of the most popular radio speakers in the country. Because he said he did a series in which he described morality as good business. That it is good business to behave morally. It helps your business to grow. Anyway, I'm not preaching Peter Daniels. What I'm just preaching, all right, is this afternoon it instructed my heart again that the word of God is real. That the word of God is what?
Real.
And the man is going around teaching every Christian. Listen, that being a believer, that's what I'm bringing out from it now. It's not just about coming to church. Look, that is, it affects every part of your life. It does. It does. And the things where, look, when people say, when the people like Karl Marx said those is that religion is the opium of the masses. All right? He spoke out of absolute ignorance. But you see, I don't want to blame him totally. That's the impression we gave him. That's the impression we gave him. There's one article, one of our brethren sent to our mailing group recently. And I've not finished reading it because I'm not very good at reading on the computer. I like to read on paper. So I want to print it out and read it. All right? But I gleaned a few things from what he said. One man was commenting how preachers preach. That they said that, they heard a man preach. And the man was saying, in effect, that listen, the unbeliever is enjoying now. Don't worry, you will enjoy later. As if God's job in life is to give you enjoyment. I don't know. The man was trying to say that, look, we're getting the reward thing wrongly. And that's why people like Karl Marx said that, okay, when they have failed in life, they can't do anything. And that's saying that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Why don't you just commit suicide on day one? You get what I'm trying to explain? So that's why Karl Marx said that, look, they're just fooling themselves. But what are we saying? What are the fundamental things about Christianity? We are saying in him was life. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. What does it mean? That is, look, listen, ignorance is why people can never achieve anything in life. Now, when people don't know things, they don't have light, they don't have understanding, they remain in darkness. That is, they keep on suffering unnecessary sufferings. Because of lack of understanding. Let me explain what I'm saying. I was in my barber's place this afternoon, just a short while ago, and one young man, he came towards the door, and he began to count money. And I noticed the boy is, let me not describe his personality, but he hustles, and I appreciate it, you know, like, if I park there, he comes, please, who owns this car? Let me wash it. So first time he did that to me, all right, I told him, don't bother washing my car, I'm in a hurry, all right, usually I'm in a hurry. Said, look, don't wash the car. Someone I was leaving him, I paid him for washing the car anyway, though I told him not to wash it. So, and the reason I paid him was just that I appreciated his willingness to walk. Do you understand my point? Now, so I saw him this afternoon again, and apparently he goes around doing stuff like that, and he was counting money. And the money doesn't look so small. He's a young boy. It was a good amount of money. All right, if you meet on a daily basis, you're not doing badly. But something struck me. That no matter how much this boy makes, if nobody gives him understanding, he will have to be working every day, all his life, like this, never leaving this cycle of poverty. That's what will make a difference between the money he's making, the few hundreds he's gathering every day, and whether he will be settled and comfortable in life, is light. It's not more money. It's what? Light. If you see these people that carry cement, you know, who offload trucks, if you know how much money they make, you want to resign your job and go and join them. See beggars on the road? Let them do their total take at the end of the day. You won't work again. No? You will start begging. Yeah, they make a lot of money. But you see, there's something about the beggar spirit that does not allow you to leave begging. So you can make money and be happy and think you are cheating everybody. But it doesn't give you light. You don't have light. So you can never break out from that cycle. You're always in there. You know, you keep moving round and round and round, you know. One cycle of, you know, today you beg, today have some money to eat tomorrow. Listen, your children will never be anything great except they believe in the gospel of Christ and that gives them light. Because that spirit of a beggar is a terrible spirit. What am I saying? When men don't have light, no matter the amount of resources they have, no, listen, there are few nations on the earth that has the amount of resources Nigeria has. There are very few. Rain falls, the type that God brags about in Canaan. You know what I'm saying? When God was taking children from Egypt to Canaan, he said, you are going to a land where rain falls. You know, in Egypt, it does not fall. They use irrigation. Rain falls here predictably. If you hear this, you heard of drought in Nigeria since you were born? Think about it. You don't hear drought in Nigeria since you were born. No. It only reaches the fringes of Niger, getting close to northern Nigeria. Then it stops. The amount of light from the south drives it back into the wilderness. Say drought where? I'm telling you. We hear hurricane. Hurricane to us it's only found in American movies. We don't know what it's called. Yet, we are amongst the least developed nations on the earth. Why? Lack of what? Light. Light. Listen, people could have vexed a white man came and raided our country. I said, good. It's good they raided it too. If they didn't raid it, we won't do anything with it. They came and plundered. May God bless them for plundering. Because without those plunderings, we won't know what is there anyway. Now we are fighting for resource control. We don't say resource there before. No be fish on surface with the catch. You get what I'm saying? The little development we had over the years was what? Those are the remnants of what they left behind. What am I saying? Without light, no matter the amount of resources you have, it amounts to nothing. It amounts to nothing. That's why understanding. David said, give me understanding and I shall live. Not give me money, I shall live. Not give me food, I shall live. It's give me understanding. The man with understanding, all right, he controls the resources of those without understanding. I always say that they say, white man came and made us slaves. I said, after he left, what did we do? We started going there and submitting ourselves as slaves. We will steal money, then go to him and say, shh, don't tell them, hide it for me. And he laughs. Slave mentality. Even when he leaves us alone, we can be blaming him. You know, people like to say that the white man hid the technology from us. It's not true. It's not true. You can't hide technology. If you know the way the white man behaves, he doesn't hide. He publishes. He publishes. That's what he does. In fact, the only way he can hide his technology for himself is by publishing it. What do I mean? When he has published it, he gets a copyright. That's the only thing he does. So I don't believe that lie that the white man hides it. No, the problem is that we don't want to learn it. We don't have the light of life to help us grasp it, even if he's doing it like this in your presence. What am I preaching? This was what Jesus came to give us. That which we did not have before. Light. Light. And believe me, if we walk in the light of the Lord, we, you and me, we make this nation so beautiful, people won't believe it. And believe me, it's happening. The problem is that the devil has seen that these people, they are getting understanding. So now, he's trying to deceive us and start telling us this is prosperity, make money, and we start falling for it. When you are praying, pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria, that all the preachers thereof will know the meaning of true prosperity. It's important. And that they will start teaching that truth that they have come to know. What am I trying to explain? Let's not glamorize things that are not true prosperity. And start fooling ourselves because my pastor drives a very big car. It means we are a successful ministry. Aren't nonsense. Aren't nonsense. The truth, if you pray for the body of Christ in Nigeria, you see what I'm saying? So, if we preach the truth, the undiluted truth, we don't come out to make merchandise of men's souls, all right? Using the word of God deceitfully, you'll be amazed at what you and I are going to do concerning the transformation of this country. God will just, listen, this, what I'm telling you is almost prophetic. God will come and say, you'll be my counselor. You'll be my senator. You'll be my legislator. You know, he will be picking and picking. Why he doesn't do it now is because the people are still stupid. If a man goes to a church and then he wins election, becomes a senator, they will do thanksgiving. The pastors expect an extra offering. That's why God does not make them senators. He said they have not gotten my point. They have not gotten my point. I've said it. God, please remind me. I will teach people to do this. If you're a pastor one day, please, somebody in your church, say, I'm going to politics. The way you ordain ministers who are going to preach the word, ordain ministers who are going into government. Make them take an oath before the people. I won't make myself rich. Listen, God commanded the children of Israel, when I give you a king, the king is going to make sure one thing, he does not make himself rich for being king. In fact, Solomon said, it's an advantage to the land if the man tills the land too. A lot of the behaviors of kings in Israel were taken from heathen lands around them. The original king that God wanted in Israel was not supposed to be like what most of the things that they had. That men will be carrying them up and down, worshipping them. No. It's more of when there's no wahala, where's the king? Yeah, where he went to supervise his croppers. They are there working on the field. If the whole land would develop, they shouldn't be bringing every small case to him. They should have judges all over the place. Who judge in the evenings? Walk during the day, judge in the evenings. Solomon said, it's an advantage to the nation when the king also tills the land. Now, listen, because one of the problems, you have to understand ideals and realities. What I mean is that when the people put pressure on him all the time, he can't do that. These are ideals that if all of them will grow up to what God wants them to be. What am I trying to explain? Listen, if we know the true order of God, we won't tell anybody. Let me ask you a question. If I tell you now, maybe somebody can say, yesterday I was ordained into ministry and I'm supposed to take over maybe preaching from Pastor Banky. Are you going to tell him congratulations? You are going to look at him and say, oh boy, you sure? You sure? You fit? So you see, you're worried for him. Especially if you've never heard him preach. You're like, oh boy, how you going to do now? He has to prove himself for you. Do you understand what I'm explaining? So why do we tell the senator congratulations? If it's really going to work the way it's supposed to be, not going there to go and share national cake, you'll be sorry for him. If any man is going to take public office, you'll be sorry for him. What am I saying? If indeed we consecrate ourselves that, listen, this is what I am going to do, and we consecrate ourselves to do that which God says is right, you'll be amazed at how rapidly God will pick all of us and make us what we never imagined we will be. The major problem he still has is that we still don't understand the gospel of prosperity. If I become a governor, I'm a member of a church, as Christianity is today, the pastor assumes that more millionaires should come out of his congregation. So when they are saying congratulations, that's what they are saying. And so God, since that's not what God wants to do, he's not in a hurry to make any. But in fact, God likes you the way it is. Let the Muslim, the unbeliever, be the legislator. At least they won't disgrace me. If they steal money, it's after their kind. Nobody going to say, and he calls himself a Muslim and he's stealing money. Have you ever heard that before? It's and the man says he goes to a serious shrine and he's still stealing money. Have you ever heard that before? The only one you hear is that, and he says he's a Christian. That is the one you hear. That is the one you hear. Even those who criticize Christians, they know what to expect of them. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. In him was light, was life, sorry. And that life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And darkness, underdevelopment, could not overcome it. Sickness could not overcome it. That thing that made a black man, generally speaking, made his nations underdeveloped, and made a white man superior, could not comprehend it. Everywhere that light entered, Miles Monroe said, the only nation on the earth, when he was preaching then, all right, that was ruled by black people and was a developed country, well-ordered society, was the Bahamas. And the constitution of the country was written based on the scriptures. So you know that indeed, where the light of God penetrates, darkness cannot overcome it. Do you understand? Why did I go into all of that? That's why we are studying faith basics. That's why we are looking at what are the basic things about our faith we must never forget. I said she opened to one scripture. Where was that? Isaiah chapter 50. All right. We are talking about, of course. So in our faith basics series, we came to talking about the faith rest life. What God expects from the Christian. And I want to continue what we said last time. Don't forget what we already explained. That there is what the Bible calls entering into his rest. And I've emphasized that when you enter into God's rest, you step into the place where his grace is functioning or begins to function in your life. And what that means is that you start doing the work of God and God starts doing his work in your life. And whatever it is that God does in your life is called the manifestation of the grace of God. So Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. God gives you something to do. Whatever your life gets as a result, as reward or as manifestation of divine power in you, comes only by God's power. And therefore, that's why I've explained to us again and again, I'm practicing it myself. Anything you want in life, ask God for it. No matter how crazy it appears to everybody, ask for it. Don't walk towards it, don't labor towards it, just ask for it. Then locate what the work of God is for each day in your life. Why people cannot do that is because they just feel, you know, we can't understand that how can I arrive at a place I'm not pursuing after aggressively. No, divine order is that you can get to a place that you are not striving for. And that's what I want to continue again today, to explain the power of that rest. The power of the faith rest life. There's power in it. There's power in it. And whatever God brings forth, we say it has come by his grace. So a man's job is to labor. We read from Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. We labor to enter into his rest. And what I wanted to talk about today, I hope I can get there, is that issue of how do I enter into that rest. We've been saying it here and there, but let's just put it together in one message. How do I enter into God's rest? Because anyone who manages to enter will discover that he will cease from his own works and God will begin to walk. And what I want to what I want to say first today is to end that part of it before I step into how do we step into God's rest. I want us to understand the issue of how our rest is very important with God. Listen to me. Listen to this. God does not walk if you are walking. Do you hear what I said? You didn't hear what I said? Whatever you are striving concerning, God does not strive about it. Listen. If you are striving about something, God doesn't do anything about it. Just wait. The only time he walks is when you have located what he said you should be doing. And you leave him to do what he's supposed to do. You know why? He doesn't like to share his glory. He doesn't like to share it. There's a book I have in my house. Something about profiles of success or something. Not very certain of the title now. It's a very nice book. And I read a lot of books. I'm always buying books and reading them. But anytime I'm reading, I'm always, you know, I sniff properly. So this is gospel. This is not gospel. It may be nice to the eyes, to the ears. It may be very emotional. It may make very nice movies, but this is not gospel. Human beings don't know how to judge. I've told you this thing again and again. They don't know how to judge. They don't know how to judge. They don't know how to judge. They judge after the seeing of their eyes, the hearing of their ears. They don't judge with righteous judgment. They don't. It's because of ignorance. He said, how did the man succeed? He woke up very early. He went about his business doggedly, forgetting. They refuse to tell you. 9 out of 10 people who wake up early go doggedly after their businesses fail. 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10. A lot of times, you can see a lot of the failures are manifestations of ignorance or wrongly doing things. Even after you fine-tune and see those who knew how to do it and did it properly, you find that most of those ones still fail. And those who succeed, most of them didn't even do it properly. They succeeded by accident. I told you to go and read this book, Outliers. Go and read it. You will discover that Bill Gates was not, he didn't become Bill Gates because he's smart. No. He became Bill Gates because of when he was born and the circumstance around life and then what the economy began to dictate. I always say, I don't believe that J.J. Okocha plays better than Odegbami of those days. You remember the Odegbami? Fregene. Remember Fregene? For those of you who are old enough, I don't believe so. They didn't make money. It was not the season in which football made money. It's true. You know Jegede Sokoya? Mm-hmm. You know how many years the man acted? Those were professional actors, not these small boys who just know how to shout and they put them on home movie. And small girls fall in love with them and the movie starts selling. Those are people who knew how to act. Did they make money? Easy season. Listen, people don't know how to judge. As they say, go and buy your children football. I say, that's nonsense. My piggy will not read book where I flog them properly. If I buy you football, it's because children should also play. Not because I'm hoping that one day you'll be a coach. Why should you be a coach? There's something you are going to become that the world has not seen yet. Are you getting my point? So I educate you globally and generally. I have blessed you with a blessing when you were born. Today I was thinking about it. My wife was very angry with two of my children today. They didn't do very well in school. Now they did well, they passed though, just by her standard. They didn't do well by her standard. Look, the aggregate was like 60-something or 70-something%. Alright? So she knew why they did not do well, you know, like because my daughter can vex. And when she vexes, she doesn't answer questions anymore. And the teacher cannot score you on when you are not talking. And I was thinking about it later. And my other son, that one, he must have gone like 99 or something like that in the aggregate. You know, I was thinking about this afternoon. I said, that one, it doesn't concern me. I told myself a few weeks ago, my son Akinlu is hyper smart, naturally speaking. Naturally speaking, the boy is too smart. He's in primary 3, now going to primary 4. He's been top of primary 3 from beginning to the end. Let me remind you, he jumped 2 classes to get to primary 3. He didn't do primary 2. But I think about it, and I laugh to myself, that doesn't, as God is my witness, I like it too, I'm very proud of it, but does not make me think he will do well in life. Hey, no. It has not crossed my mind that, you see, this is, as it's going like this, the guy, he will make it. Now lie. If you lie, fail, you will still make it. That one doesn't concern. Look, it's good. It's good. You see, let me tell you something. Something happened. His younger brother. Now, he didn't talk as fast. I can look, you know, he was quite precocious, the child. You know, very, very early, talked very early. All my boys walk fast. I mean, they walk before the age of 9 months. Before 9 months, Benga, at the age of 8 and a half, was running all over the house. That's months, though. So that's just the way they are, all right? But unlike Akinlu, who talked very, very fast, Benga did not talk for the first 2 years plus in his life. What was the hurry? You have the whole life to talk, so. the boy didn't understand all this yakking away for what? Everybody's just looking at you. My mother-in-law was so worried at the time while I was not looking, she rushed into hospital to go and be sure that the boy is hearing. I said, listen, mommy, you seem to forget that I'm a doctor. If a child is not hearing, I will know. I said, don't worry. Everybody has his own pace in life. Don't worry about it at all. So because of that, when he started going to school, of course, the first year, he didn't learn anything. I mean, like, he wasn't talking. Get my point. He wasn't talking. Just normal childhood noise, but proper words. No. So after primary one, they say he's going to primary two. Nursery one. He says he's going to nursery two. They had bought his book. I told my wife, don't mind the school. They're just doing their own business. My son is not talking yet. There's nothing a boy who's not talking is doing primary two. We turn him to primary one. He said, he's mates. I said, he doesn't have mates. He does not have mates. You know, I've been telling you that thing. I believe it both ways. He does not have mates. Nobody was there when you gave birth to him. When God wrote his destiny, they were not there. He does not have mates. He ain't talking yet. He stays in primary one until he starts talking. So my wife said, okay, went to the school. They pulled him out of primary two. Nursery two. It's not in nursery one. They started talking. I said, very good. So he learned to count, learned everything, learned to talk, learned AB. Hey, I said, now you can move. Now this is the point I'm making. He said, his mates. I said, he doesn't have mates. One thing I know for sure is that every single one of these children that God gave me, everyone will be outstanding in life. I'm certain. I'm not competing with anybody. His brothers jumping classes and jumping people, it doesn't impress me. No, it does not impress me. That's not guarantee for anything. When he finished secondary school, we are going to discuss. So, you are going to university. I said, listen, education is not for success, it's for education. Success is based on blessing. How blessed you have succeeded. Whether you go to school, you not go to school, you have succeeded. So, we will now discuss. What would you like to do? We will talk. I will look into my spirit. He will talk about his desire. At the end of the day, listen to me. He may say, I have decided that I want to teach. Listen. If it has that, I think I will say, good. So you are going to school. You will go and study BED, Bachelor's in Education in what? You like biology, history, whatever it is, just go to school. When you finish school, then you do whatever you want to do in life. You can go and cure for a cause that does not interest you. Because you hear that doctors are well paid. You want to die. Anatomy, you and anatomy are arch enemies. No. Bankers are well paid. You go and study banking. Meanwhile, accounting is your major problem in life. First year you work, you lose so much money, they sack you. After 6 years of plotting. If any of my children can say, I want to be a musician. I say, good. Before you be a musician, you first go and get me a BSc in physics. I'm telling you. After that, you will know how the sound waves come out of the pipe. You will know. That they will do well, forget. That was determined. There are things I bless God. God and I prayed to him about and I bless him for. Before I married, for example, the moment I married, I knew I would prosper in life. Material. You know why? I said, God, if I want to suffer, let me suffer on my own. So once you give me a wife, that is, you have said that, Banky, you will not suffer, you will not, you are not a John the Baptist. Yeah, it's true. If you don't want to give me children, nothing spoil. But say you give me children and they won't be outstanding, that one will not happen. That one will not happen. Look. None of my children will be a cause of concern that won't be able to sleep. What is he doing now? I don't know what he's up to. The angels slapping him back to order, they are too plenty. Listen, I was telling you earlier in the day, I was listening to Peter Daniels. Peter Daniels said he doesn't understand this. They say that success, the cost of success for what? That he and his children have never quarreled. The man was 71 when he was preaching. He said, my second son runs our global office. We have never disagreed. Then he can't understand why people say that, you know, teenagers. Say, what is that? His children went through teenage and they never had any problems. Let me tell you, look, listen, I was thinking about it today. Then when my wife comes back home, I really can't walk much. And she claims that when I come back home, she can't walk much. From the study, she'll just come carry chair and sit down there. Then I thought to myself, we'll be married this year, will be 11 years. I don't know whether it's now I like my wife more. That time we were just married. I don't even know again. Yeah, no, really. What am I going to say? Let nobody deceive you that after some time you'll be so used to each other you won't like each other again. It's not true. It is not true. Some of these people make it look and seem like they are natural. And you know, when children are growing up, they are rebellious to their parents. It's not true. You didn't flog them when they were young. That's your problem. You didn't explain to them who was the boss. You didn't use the word of God to train them. You did not pray for them. That's what the problem is. There's nothing natural about children being rebellious. Are you a sinner? No, I'm telling you. Listen, the world says that, you know, it is natural when children reach this age. What's natural? What is natural that I know is that foolishness is born on the heart of a child, not as an adult, in a child. Then that is the time you do the surgical correction using the word of God and the flog. You know how we have the flog? If you do that while he is young, the Bible says when he grows up, he won't depart away from it. Every one of my children will give me peace of mind. If you like get 99 today, or get one, is your problem. That in life you will not be outstanding, no. The child that would not be outstanding refused to be conceived in my wife's belly. I'm telling you. The troublemaker. When my wife wanted to conceive, the angel, they inspect them one by one. Jaguda, come on, move back. Move back. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Wait, how did we even get into this? I don't even know again. Anyway, let me just find my way back. I'll find my way back, all right? The point I just make, all right, is that, look, there's a peace of God, there's a rest of God, which we step into, all right? The world can't teach us anything, no. We use the word of God to build something, and we connect with the grace of God, all right? I don't know why I haven't gotten that special, but I remember that I said, you open to Isaiah chapter what? Let us read that one, amen? Already, we'll know where we were. In him was life, the life was the light of man. That's what I'm saying. It corrects everything, believe me. Where men say we should go down, no, we are going up. All right, let me read from verse 4. Now remember, we're talking about the importance of rest as far as God is concerned. That God does not struggle concerning what, yeah, I was saying that. What we are struggling about, what he does is to give us what we are to do so that his grace can flow. He does not share his glory with anybody. Yes, I remember I was saying that. And the natural things are not the things he used to bring people to prominence. It's his blessing. It's his blessing. It's his blessing. All right. Verse 4, Isaiah chapter 50. It said, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord has opened my ear and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. I gave my back to those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pluck out the beard. I did not cover my face for humiliation and spitting, for the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up to each other. Who has a case against me? Let him draw near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who is he who condemns me? Behold, they will all wear out like a garment. The moss will eat them. Who is among you? Please, this is where I was going, actually. That you'd like to read in context and pick a few things from verse 5, 4 and 5. But main thing I was going to is verse 10 and 11. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness? I'd like to read like this. Yet walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all who kindle a fire, who encircle themselves, he said, who encircles, let me read again, verse 11. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. Now listen to this. This you will have from my hand. He said, you will lie down in what? in torment or in sorrow. If you have a King James, my Bible, New American Standard, uses the word torment. Now, there's a reason why it says this. Now, don't forget this, verse 11 here, emphasize something. That there are times, okay, let me just read from verse 10. He said, if you are obeying the word of God, you are obeying the voice of his minister, yet you are not seeing the results that you thought you should see, and your life is not experiencing, all right, or manifesting the light that was prophesied that you will experience. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord. That is, you must continue to trust in the name of the Lord and rest or rely on your God. He said, now those who don't do this, who easily get tired, who, like Habakkuk said, they turn back, all right, away from their faith, that God loses delight in them. He said, this is what happens to them. They now begin to engineer their own activities. They forsake the work of God and go for their own works. They depart from the rest of God, like we have been explaining. He said, what they will have eventually is what he calls lying down in torment. That is, what a Christian must do is to, even in the midst of his adversity, learn to trust in God totally and hold on to his hands. Please, put something there. Quickly open to the book of Isaiah chapter 30. We must read that one to be able to understand this properly. Remember I said something at the beginning of this series, that this particular faith rest series, that adversities will come in life. Trials will come. And let me say this so I don't forget to say it. God has a word to speak in every situation in your life. That's one. And number two, he has a name that he bears in every situation of life. How you step into God's rest is to speak, is to meditate on the word that he has spoken concerning that situation and call him by the proper name in the midst of that adversity. Are you getting my point? He said, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It tells me, therefore, that it's a conscious effort he makes to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He exerts himself, like we read in the book of Hebrews, to enter into God's rest. He said, labor to enter into that rest. So dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, the secret place of the Most High, the resting place of God, is a conscious effort you make to dwell in there. Now, when you have made that effort, you will abide, he says, under the covering, the influence of the Almighty. Now, how do you do that? In that next line, he said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. That is, when I want to enter into a secret place, you know, in fact, the other day I was watching, I think my children were watching one children's channel on TV. And I now saw the way, of course, there was a cartoon of this story we learned when we were children about, I think, Ali or something. Open Sesame. Remember Open Sesame? Yeah. Open Sesame. Can you remember it? Now, those things were folk tales, but they were based on spiritual principles. When Ali wanted to enter, is it Abu or Ali, one of them anyway? Ali Baba, all right? Okay. When he wanted to enter into that place, he spoke a word. He did not fight the door. What did he do? He spoke a word. Now, it's a divine principle. When you want to enter into places in the realm of the spirit, it's words that you speak. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, I will say of the Lord, so as to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I get to the door that leads to the Most High place. I get there and say, how do you enter? I say something to that door. I say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him I will trust. The door will open, I step in. Are you getting my point? The challenge of Christianity is to maintain speaking that word even when adversity is raging. The challenge of Christianity is, yes, you have a phone, you could call somebody. Say, no, that's not where I'm starting from. Let me say of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen. Christianity is a battle of words. I said, spiritual things, not just Christianity. All right? Life is a battle of words. Are you getting what I'm saying? When Job was being tested, all that was being listened out for was what he would say. So how do I dwell in the secret place of the Most High? We'll get back to that in a moment. Let me not just sit on it now. Let me quickly read that Isaiah chapter 40. Chapter 30, sorry. I want to read from verse 15, just four verses. He said, for thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved, or you shall be delivered, or you shall be healed, or you shall be caused to prosper. In quietness and trust is your strength. Your strength is not in laboring. It's not in exerting yourself. In quietness and trust is your strength. He He said the problem with the people who were speaking to us, they were not willing. What did they say? No, for we flee on horses. He said, therefore, you shall flee. Let me say, before I read further, you know what it means, therefore, you shall flee? You said we'll flee on horses. I will give you enough reasons to run. That's what it means by therefore, you shall flee. Because you were determined to run, I will give people the strength to chase you, so you will run. Oh God, let me tell you something. Life is spiritual. I don't argue with people anymore on what makes sense and what does not make sense. I was with my wife yesterday. I was trying to readjust something she was doing. She was trying to explain. I said, listen, baby, if you want to do it, it will make sense. If you don't want to do it, you will have reasons not to do it. What I mean is that if you don't want to obey this order, you want to continue doing it this particular way, you have enough reasons to think what you are doing makes sense. Like I give examples to women all the time. If you want to disobey your husband, you will see how foolish he is. He will be so foolish, you won't understand why you obey him. But the fundamental was not his foolishness. It was that from the beginning you said, I will flee on horses. So God said, therefore, you shall flee. I thought about it a few days ago. I said, God, all my life I always thought that God gave me a wife to be a blessing to me. A few months ago, I realized that God also gave her a husband to be a blessing to her. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, listen, there are times I have thought, if my wife was not like this, or I was not like this, what would life have been like? Then I realized that, Banky, it could not have been like that. From the beginning, God looked at your heart and said, this is the kind of woman that you should marry. And God looked at her heart and said, I will find you this kind of husband. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you say, I will flee on horses. If you say, women are very wicked, they don't know how to spend money. Don't worry. Don't worry. You will find Jezebel will resurrect. They will marry you. There's nothing you can do about it. Once you open your mouth, you know that in your heart, you've been saying, I will flee on horses. I have to protect myself against these wicked women. You know what's going to happen? God said, therefore, you shall flee. Therefore, I will give you a woman that will make sure you need that protection against wickedness. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, oh God, I do something a lot. I just take off on a tangent, forget the thing where I won't preach before. It's not my fault, my brother, my sister, it's not my fault. My consolation is I hope you are learning something. Yes. What am I saying? If you prepare yourself spiritually for a problem, it will come. If you decide, he said, I've only said it. No. Men are like this. You will be proved right. That's what I'm saying. What you believe will be proved right in your life. Suddenly you will make sense to yourself. Yes, you will. Let me just leave it. The Lord has given me the leeway to leave it. So let me go back. He said, no, we'll flee on horses. God said, therefore, you shall flee. He said, and we will ride on swift horses. That is, this is how we'll flee on horses. We'll get very fast ones. God said, very nice. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. Can you see that people will tell you that, why are you running? It's because people are pursuing me. God said, no. I gave people to pursue you, to you, because you wanted to run. Do you get the point? The faster you run, the faster the pursuers will be. If you run away from poverty, listen to me, child of God, it will catch up with you everywhere you go. You think a visa to America or Australia is passport away from poverty? And you are a believer. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Because when you get there, after settling down, it will come again upon you again. You start running again. This is Christianity. In returning and in what? Rest. In returning and what? Rest. You will be saved. A friend of mine told me sometime, it was my classmate, some time ago. He said, you guys were wise. We're talking about career choices after leaving university and all of that. He said, you guys were wise. Now, people will look at it as if you saw what the rest of us did not see. As if we could plot the events of the country and the future of the profession and money matters and economic matters. That's not true. Listen to me. What happens is that economic matters and money matters respond to our choices. So it will not appear as if you knew. Are you getting my point? It will not appear as if you knew. No, it's not as if you knew. It was that you made the right choices according to divine order. Then the events of the earth cooperated to make you appear right. Are you following what I'm saying? Listen, Christianity is faith first, not sight first too. If God says something, you believe it, life will rearrange to make it look as if you knew what you were doing. That's why people keep on writing books from behind. All these books should have been written in Arabic. I don't know why they write them in English. You say, what am I saying? You know, you read them backwards. You know Arabic, you read it from left, from right to left. What do I mean? You see what I'm saying? We write people's stories as if they knew what they were doing when they started. Why? Because they have succeeded. 20 keys or 20 habits of successful people. One, they always take the left foot comes out of the door first in the morning before the right. When you ask the man, why do you always put the left foot out of your door first? He said, do I do that? He said, yes, sir. We have been following you with a hidden camera for the last 3 years. And we found out that 85% of the times, so it's your left foot that comes out first of the door. The man said, thanks. I didn't know that. Not that you have told me. Next time I'm going to preach, I'll tell them. That's how we write our books backwards. What am I trying to explain? Let me not waste time on that. The point is that the people really did not know that life was going to come out for them like that. They did the best they could. Listen, many people did exactly what they did. Except that one government legislation, one natural disaster that happened or did not happen, made them fail. That's why I said the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. He said bread is not to the discerning. Neither is favor to men of understanding. He said, look at under the sun, time and chance just happens to them all. What am I saying? Spiritual things, that's the way they are. We make the right choices based upon the word of God, and life begins to behave as if we knew what we're doing. Most of the decisions me I have made in life, I've looked back now. They are decisions made, I don't want to say in confusion. No, they was not in confusion. But was not in the knowledge of the future. Do you follow my point? It was what was right, given the word of God in the midst of those circumstances, and my willingness to believe that which I know, that was what was right. That's what Christianity is. Let's continue reading, please. He said, because you said, we will ride on horses, therefore those who will ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one man. You shall flee at the threat of five until you are left as a flag on a mountain top and as a signal on a hill. But this is what God wanted. Verse 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are those who long for him. Now, let me just say something. I'm reading the New American Standard, so they say, how blessed are those who long for him. Literal Hebrew, it's even written here, side note. Says, how blessed are those who wait for him. And that's what King James says. Right? Yeah, good. Now, this is the point I'm making. Let me just stop there. If you see, why did I read this? Just to emphasize the issue of wait, resting. That is when God walks. God says, when people are too active, I can't do anything for them. in returning and in rest is when their salvation will show. Their strength, he said, is in quietness and in trusting the Lord. We said that one last week. I just need to emphasize it. Therefore, the labor, we read in Hebrews, he said, therefore, let us labor to enter into rest. Please let me not for, let me remind us of it again so that we don't forget. Each time you have a work, that's a work of God for you. I told myself, my wife again today, I said, you know those things I said I was going to do before? I said, oh girl, I have forsaken them again. Because I have realized that's not the work of God. I know the work of God for me. Listen, the reason why I felt I should do this so that I can reach a particular end, that was the reason. But now I have understood again, after I meditated and listened to the things that I said myself, I said, no. Once I have found the work of God, this is the discipline of Christianity, to be willing to wait. What have I just emphasized now? Natural things we predict in a particular way. Therefore, we'll say we'll run on horses. And once you determine to run on horses, you know what's going to happen? The things that are chasing you will suddenly increase in speed. Listen, as a Christian, you don't just get up and say, hey, I'm running to this country, I'm running to this country. Because I believe that it's easier to prosper there. Let me tell you something. The word of God is not a description of what is factually correct, though. I don't know whether I get my point. The word of God is not a description for what we can see physically. It's a description of what God is creating. I don't know whether I heard me. God doesn't describe what he's seeing. He says what he's creating in the midst of what is currently happening. So when God will come to the earth, he said, don't worry, the earth has vegetation. You go there, you won't see vegetation. But when someone says, let's go to the earth, he said, go away. Can't see there's nothing there. And you now come and say, God said there is vegetation. Once you say it, they begin to sprout. 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 Are you getting what I'm saying? Be careful when you want to disobey the word of God. Be very careful. Look, it's risky. Let me say it again. There's nothing wrong with leaving the country. Amen? It is why I always fight. It's why. The missionaries left and came to Nigeria. Is that not so? Good. So leaving is not what I'm talking about. It's why. It's my trust in that if I get it, life will be better. That's what I'm telling you. If you are just running on horses, and poverty will run faster than you, that's what God is saying. What am I trying to explain? Don't forget this statement I made. The word of God is not a description of what you are seeing. It's a description of what will be created if you believe. It's a description of what he's creating that he needs your faith to produce. That is, if you don't believe, you will appear as if you were right. You will sit down and tell yourself, Shebi, I said so. That was what I said. I knew it. But you are saying that because you did not activate the power to produce something new. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, when we talk like this, we're not trying to make you feel happy. We're not trying to make ourselves happy. Nobody's trying to make anybody feel happy. We are declaring truth, which if men don't believe, it will not happen. But if they believe, because the thing is already happening in the realm of the spirit, it's just looking for a proper connection, so it might be downloaded onto the earth. If you truncate the connection, doesn't mean the thing is not on the internet. You know what I'm saying? You just couldn't download it. It's a connection problem. Faith is what the connection is. That's what we are describing. So God said, this is how it manifests. If a man truly believes in me, in returning and in rest, he comes down, picks up the thing that I have given him as the work of God, and most certainly, I will activate my power in his or her life, and the person will see that which my word is producing. Are you getting my point? So the challenge is step into his rest. Are you following me? Like I said, you know, I said to you that there are two things I wanted to say today. One, beginning part to end that thing I was talking about, the rest of God. And secondly, to now go into How do we enter into God's rest? I will introduce it. My time is very far gone now. Psalm 131. We're reading a lot of scriptures today. Psalm 131. How do I step into God's rest? Earlier on, I got ahead of myself. I began to talk about it. I began to talk about it in which I quoted from Psalm 91, in which it says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." David said in Psalm 131, he said, "O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters." That is, I don't do God's work for him. I do my own. That I don't do what is the work that God says is his own. I do the one that God says is my own. It's called the work of God. I rest from my own works. He said, "I do not involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me." Let me just say this quickly to you before we read further. Where God is taking you to in life is too difficult for you. Did I hear an amen? Amen. It is. Bible says that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you can ask or imagine. Think about. That's what he can do. There's a limit to what you can ask about. You know that? There are requests that are too big for your mouth. They're just afraid. Even when it comes to thinking, there are things you can't just think about. Not because you're angry or afraid, though. There are things you can't think of, you're afraid, you're angry. There are things that your brain cannot conceive. You have never seen it. And I said to you earlier, I am buying football for my children because of JJ Okocha. What they will become, JJ Okocha has never seen it. The world has not seen it. It is when they produce it that you will notice that it is there. Do you get the point I'm making? I mean, let's just quickly, just to digress for a moment. The world has a problem with power now, you know. Oil will finish. BP well ruptured in the center of the Gulf of Mexico. And it was for 3 months spewing millions and millions of barrels of oil into the water. Nobody likes that. Nuclear power is very efficient but very toxic in its byproducts, and you can have atomic bomb as a byproduct. We don't like that. What does that tell you? One day another man will show up, bring up one small technology, patent it, and make Bill Gates look poor. That you look and say, how could we have called that man the richest man in the world? Was that how poor the world was that time? Yes. I believe one thing very sure. I believe this most certainly. The universal cure for cancer is a very simple issue. Yes, I can't go give you details. Except that we have not found it. I'm a pathologist, most of you know. And I know cancer is a serious problem. Generally speaking, it's a disease without a cure. Generally speaking. So we try to catch it early. But I have looked enough, all right, to know that, I can't give the details. Only my colleagues will brainstorm on this once in a while. I know that one day God will give somebody insight. And they will just say, boys, that is where the problem is. If we tie those two ends together, we will solve 90% of the cancer problems in the world. And you say, Pastor Vang, is it possible? Listen, let me tell you the truth. It happened to tuberculosis. Tuberculosis was a guaranteed killer before. But now, only poor people in dead rural areas die from TB now. It's only HIV that made it an issue again. Because why I say poor from, because if you don't have money, there were people giving out the drugs free of charge. You need to both not have money and not have knowledge, not have access to anything. Polio used to what? Forget polio. Smallpox, what's that I want to say? Smallpox will just come to a town, like this Enugu now, it will arrive. Before it comes, there will be 1 million people. By the time it leaves, there only half a million left. Where is it today? It's gone. Plague, That's how he used to wipe out villages. You would travel, say, boys, I they go Lagos, you come by 1 month later, everybody is dead. Where is it now? It's gone. Listen, you see, I said, so. That is how cancer will be cured one day. Why am I saying this? When God wants to make another man great, you're giving small wisdom. He say, shh, come. Look, they didn't see this one. Show it to them. Say, Lord, should I do it on a charity basis? Or should I commercialize it? Say, commercialize it now. I want to make you the richest man in the world. Say, thank you, sir. And he will commercialize in such a manner that the people suffering won't have to pay him. It's their governments that will be donating $1 billion every year. They'll go around the world and say, oh, we have to eradicate poverty, $2 billion. We want to eradicate communism, $8 billion. You'll be talking nonsense around the place. At home, when he goes to church, you say, I am what I am by the grace of God. His power working towards me. No, listen, what am I saying? I'm buying football for anybody because of JJ Okocha. There's greatness. Ah, listen. In fact, let's even forget other things. Sports. There are sports that are not being played right now. You know what they call golf? Men invented golf. You know the meaning of the word golf? I'm not joking. This is a matter of fact. Gentlemen only, ladies forbidden. When I heard that thing, I laughed. I said, that was the meaning of the word golf. That's how it started. Some men said, okay, let's... Now, Tiger Woods became the first sports billionaire playing golf. The richest sportsman ever, Tiger Woods. He was the first man who played sports, who did sports into making $1 billion. So, listen. Oh, God. I hope you get what I'm saying. Many things have not been done, so don't let someone go and buy football for your son because of JJ Okocha. By the time your children grow up, everybody will be a footballer. They will be selling footballer for 200,000 naira. So just forget that side. Forget that side. Hey, no, I need to tell us this. People just like to fixate their minds on things that they have seen. You know what God said? Dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness. Don't worry about where I'm taking you to. You wake up one day and find that you are there. You wake up. When Joseph was dreaming dreams, you think he knew he was going to Egypt. He don't gauge all the land where his papa get. I will be lord of this land. God, your look is a smart thing. He first fired him from the land. Then he became king over a small household, Potiphar's house. And they fired him from there. Then he became ruler inside a small Congolo jail. Ruling outcasts like himself. After he has given up everything. Say, Lord, that dream. Well, I said, you know, you said we should not smoke. It was the day I smoked. That was when I dreamed that dream. Because you so far rather than smoke or not be smoke. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Joseph, it was as if the Bobo was dreaming. I'm sure that guy didn't believe me for the first 1 year. Because less it becomes like the other dream. He just be looking, see what's going on here. Took him a while to get used to it, I think. What am I saying? Listen. Walk with God. Don't worry about where you are right now. Or you can't see where you are going. Listen. This is what the word of God does. He says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail. Neither would any lack its fulfillment. I'm putting my own words to it now. He said, because once the mouth of God declares, his spirit goes out and he gathers. I hope you are getting my point. The challenge is to rest, firmly believing this thing and not letting it go. Let's read that Psalm. Let's read it. Psalm 131. He said, I don't involve myself in great matters. Things too difficult for me. That's what I was commenting on. Where you are going is too difficult. You can't get there by yourself. It says, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a wind child rests against his mother. My soul is like a wind child within me. Now listen to this. O Israel, Have your expectation in the Lord, not in natural things. Have your expectation in the word of God, not what the environment dictates. Don't think because you are getting the first class, you're always passing every course, you know everybody, you will come to something in life. No, I told you, even concerning my son, though he's appearing very smart, I refuse. Because, look, this is our trials in life. Because if you think a child will do well because he's standing out in his class, you will have to accept that the others won't do well because they are not. So you forsake every natural advantage and discountenance everything that is natural. You say, O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. There was something David said here, which is why I wanted to read this. He said, I have composed and quieted my soul. It's a job. My time is up. I'll pick up from there next time. He said, I have what? Composed and quieted my soul. There's a procedure for it. You instruct your soul. Oh my God, God taught me that thing. And I enjoy it. Periodically, things will happen. I will settle down and start talking to myself. That's how you compose your soul. You talk to it. Now, the way God designed it is that human beings can be split into two. There's a behaving part and there's a commanding part. I don't know what that means, but I hope you can make sense out of it. What I mean is this. There's a natural part of you that seems to respond and behave every day. But there's a spirit inside you, which you take up and use to control your soul. As if that's the master inside there. That's the one God deals with. What I mean is this. David will say, bless the Lord, O my soul. That is, I'm talking to myself. The informed spiritual part of me steps out, looks at the natural part of me and speaks to it. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't complain against the Lord, O my soul. Give thanks to the Lord, O my soul. Jump up 5 times. Say, thank you, Jesus, O my soul. You get what I'm saying? He said, I have composed my soul. That day I said, soul, sit down. Let me give you a few instructions. When you see this happening, this is how you respond. I take the word of God. Oh God, let me end with it. You know, that's why Moses said, God said through Moses to Joshua. In fact, I think he said directly to Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall compose thy soul with it by singing therein day and night. Because when you do it, you will be careful. Your soul will respond and be careful to do all that is written therein. That's how it works. Listen, life, Satan, two of them joining together, they have an assignment to discombobulate your soul. There's one brother in church. He's late now. That was his English. That's it. To disturb your soul. Soul, be disturbed. That's what life is telling you. How do you get disturbed? Say, sit down. You don't pay for DSTV, yes. Put that on. Calamity News Network, tune it. Fine. See trouble in Haiti? Do you know that the GDP of the whole of Africa is only half of that of California? And even California, wahala day, omo wahala day. What hope do you have for your children? By the way, is Emeka not your mate? He has just finished his house. Ooh. And it's disturbing your soul. That's life for you. So much that Jesus came and said, Simon, Simon. Satan has desired to disturb your soul so badly that you will deny your faith and therefore sift you like wheat. So I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. So what do we do? We start instructing. There are two people always talking to your soul. Satan and his friends, and you and the Holy Spirit. These are the two groups. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Don't worry about Haiti or California. all that is within me bless his holy name. Let's start from here. He forgave all your sins. Have you forgotten that? It's true. He healed all your diseases. Listen to me. He's satisfying your youth with good things. Your youth, your mouth, your youth is being renewed like that of an eagle. Don't forget the things he has done for you. Focus on his word. Even though your beginning be small, yet your latter end shall greatly increase. Say, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Material things are temporal. You are talking to your soul. As you are talking like that, then suddenly you rise. Now listen, this is not drug of opium to make you feel happy. This is a performance-enhancing drug. When you come out, you'll be lucky. Yeah, suddenly you'll be lucky. Listen. They say, rest up early. They say, listen, I'm sleeping. It's rest. Part of rest. It's forbidden to rise up early to go to bed late. So anytime I rise up early is to pray and to give thanks. All the good businesses will wait for you. Let me end it with what I've always said. Blessings are commanded. They don't happen by chance. They said, success is about being in the right place at the right time. No time is right until it rightly happens to you. Did you hear what I said? There's no way to know a time that is right until God showers a blessing on you. There are those that their success came because they didn't leave the house on time. It is of the Lord that shows mercy. What's our assignment? We compose our... Next time, look, like I said, next time I'm going to finish it, all right? We'll develop this matter of composing your soul. You compose and quieten your soul within you. Because if you don't do that, no matter what God has promised, he won't manifest it. Once you get up and start running to a place where God didn't send you, that's the end of it. God goes to relax. Say, Lord, why are you sitting down? Say, he's busy. When he's tired, I will start. God called Moses. You will deliver children of Israel. God said, yes, very fine, very fine. Buy me a sword. Deliverance. Everybody shall deliverance. Hey, bah, bah. They fight. They slap the guy, beat him, drive him come up for Egypt. God, I'm just putting the picture. God, wait, he said, I'll deliver them. He said, not like that. You are supposed to deliver them with a mighty hand that I will give to you. So we'll wait until you are tired. When the man don't rest, don't tire. Say now. Say, you won't fight when you reach there now. He said, no, I promise. Then, before she now fight to kill one person. Now he'll put up his staff, stick, you know, wood. An army will drown. That's when God began to work in his life. Bible says when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. A time will come in your life, all right? All that you are struggling for morning till night today. Listen to me, literally, it will happen to you in 5 seconds. The money you work a whole month to earn, a time will come that you will calculate what you earn in a month, and that will be equivalent to 5 seconds of that current day. That is, what you earn in a month before becomes 5 seconds. And I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. It's happening to people. Somebody, one more, gave me the gist the other day about Bill Gates. That if you throw money on the floor, it's a waste of time for Bill Gates to pick it. He earns money faster than he can pick it from the floor. So don't think it's impossible. I told this to let you know it can happen. And it will happen to you. Amen. Like I always say, don't die before that time. Let me end by prophesying to you. You will not die before that time in the name of Jesus. You will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads and begin to pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks.